Courtney Cronin, woman about town, all over the shop. What happens at the draft that doesn't show on TV that you can tell us about as the intrepid reporter that you are?
The amount of hours that I spent inside Halas Hall this past week, beginning Tuesday with the pre-draft press conference all the way through Saturday, I should have set up shop there. I should have put a bed next to my cubicle in the media room. I probably need to start paying taxes in Lake County, Illinois, because I feel like I live there. I spent about 14 hours a day in the facility every day this past week leading into what was the most exciting day we've seen from the Chicago Bears in a very long time when they draft Caleb Williams and draft Rome Odunze on Thursday and then introduce them a day later.
The curse of Sid Luckman is over. Oh wait, hold on. Do we know that yet? I'm getting word from okay. The NFL draft is in the can, and it was no surprise that the Bears made Caleb Williams the first overall pick. But before we start to find out who Caleb Williams is as an NFL quarterback, ESPN Chicago reporter Courtney Cronin tells us who he's been as a high school and college phenom, on and off the field. I'm Clint Yates. It's Monday, April 29th. This is ESPN Daily. Courtney Cronin, the NFL draft is come and gone, and it went at the top exactly as we thought it would. The Bears sprinting to the podium to get Caleb Williams, and this new era is underway in the Chi. The funny thing is, though, for those of you who are not from the District of Columbia, who have not heard about this guy since he was a sophomore at Gonzaga High School, it doesn't feel like we've learned much about the actual guy, Caleb, as an individual. What was your first impression?
When I had a chance to talk with him at the Combine at the beginning of March, the way that he handled an insanely large media scrum, there was at least 120, 150 people there packed into a tight area to hear from him for 12 minutes or so, and how he answered every single question, why he wasn't working out at the Combine, why he wasn't giving his medicals to teams at the Combine, how he didn't have a plan B and only planned to go number one overall. Like, he told us all of those things there. And the confidence in which he spoke about the situation he was about to walk into and the team he was about to walk into, it became obvious at that point that it was the Chicago Bears.
The Bears was an 8-9 team last year, I believe, and 7-10, sorry. And you know, that's pretty good for a team that has the first pick. And they got a good defense. They got good players on offense. And you know, it's pretty exciting, you know, if you could go into a situation like that.
You knew back then that he knew where he was headed because it's something that he's prepped for his entire life. He was programmed and has been programmed to be the number one overall pick, to have a successful college career, and then translate that into what's next for him in the NFL.
Oh, and he paints his nails. What are we going to do about that? I asked that to say, how does Chicago, kind of an old school sports town, there's a certain energy, take this kid in terms of their first impressions?
You know, Clinton, if you can win and if you can do it in a city that has been starved for success at the quarterback position, not even success, consistent play at the quarterback position, if you can do all of those things, you can do whatever you want. You can paint your nails, you can listen to whatever kind of music you want, you can dress however you want to, which you should be able to do anyways. But I think that we're coming into a time in sports where the typical gender norms that have long been associated with masculinity, with football, with what it means to exude toughness and confidence, those things are changing. And what you see in Caleb Williams is someone who's not afraid to push the envelope, to do things his own way, to do the things that make him feel comfortable. And if somebody else doesn't like it, tough.
This is the part where I remind you that he's from D.C. Independent thinker, strong-willed human being. Courtney, you said you got to know Caleb a little bit from the Combine stuff, but in the wake of one of the most exciting periods of his life, you're the voice of the town. I know you needed to find out a little bit more than just that. How did you go about introducing Mr. Williams, the new franchise QB, to the world?
So we know all of the stories that we've seen play out over his career at Oklahoma and his career at USC when he was introduced to a national audience on the college football stage during the Red River rivalry between Oklahoma and Texas in 2021, when he takes over for Spencer Rattler and shows us, I'm that dude. I have arrived.
Need the length of the football. It's a keeper all the way. Makes a cut. Dances free and look out. Caleb Williams in the secondary. They're trying to run him down. Dives. Touchdown, Oklahoma. 66 yards on fourth and a foot.
And then beyond that, it's the Heisman Trophy season at USC, which leads into all of the NIL deals. You saw him in every Dr. Pepper commercial last year during college football season.
The stars have arrived.
I made my choice. This season, I will be drinking
Dr. Pepper, strawberries, and cream.
And everyone wants a taste of fame. Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
I love your nails.
Thank you.
During the Wendy's commercials, the Beats by Dre ad, the GQ article, all of those things. But we didn't really get to hear stories about Caleb the person and what he was like through his come up at Gonzaga College High School in D.C. and then how he built himself into a player that was going to draw the eyeballs of everybody in the NFL and become that player that every team wants on their rosters. I went about it in a way where I looked for the stories that you can't find right now on Caleb Williams. The anecdotes that truly show you about his competitiveness, his generosity, who he is when he is not on the football field, the fun moments that he has, and the moments that take away this sort of untouchable figure who has been in the spotlight for a lot of years and shows you this guy is a 22-year-old young man going about life, living and trying to experience everything he can. And now he's going to have to do it with an even bigger spotlight on him, but how he's prepared to handle that spotlight in the situation he walks into.
Coming up, Courtney shares the stories to tell us who Caleb Williams really is. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, let's get into it, Courtney. What's the story that made you think, oh, that's who this dude is?
Every summer, Gonzaga College High School's football team,
home of the Eagles,
would go to Mercersburg, Pennsylvania. They would do this Remember the Titans style training camps. So two-a-days, it's a team bonding experience. I don't know if they were doing up-downs the way that, you know, Denzel was walking them through back in the movie, but it was a throwback to a different era. No cell phones for the players. Everybody was there for about a week. And I talked to his former offensive coordinator, Danny Schechter, who had a group of three quarterbacks at Gonzaga in 2018. So this is the year that they win the WCAC championship. But you go all the way back to about July or August when they're in training camp. Danny and Caleb are warming up. The two junior quarterbacks are warming up. And Caleb's 16 years old, but he's got a cannon on his arm.
I've seen a lot of people throw a ball before, but to say that a rising freshman threw a better ball than basically anybody else I'd ever seen, I was shocked.
So about halfway through practice, Danny looks down at his left hand and sees that there's blood trickling down.
My hand starts hurting. I'm like, why does my hand hurt? I look down right underneath my ring finger. You know, my hand's bleeding and my ring finger is like all cut up. I'm like, what the heck did I do? And then I realized, oh, crap, my wedding ring is split in half. And it was from playing catch with Caleb.
And he goes home, he tells his wife this, thinking, man, what a cool story. Like, she's gonna love this.
You know, I told my wife, she wasn't happy about it, of course. And I was like, man, listen how cool this is. And she was like, that's not cool. Like, he broke your wedding ring.
It was a ring that was modeled after one that his father had. It meant a lot to him for obvious reasons. And at that point, the anger turns into bewilderment of, did he really throw it that hard that it broke your wedding ring? So it shows you from a young stage of Caleb's career that he really had it. He had the skill set, the tools to be able to be a quarterback that went from Washington, D.C. to Oklahoma initially before going on to USC to win the Heisman. And in the process, Danny Schechter no longer wears his wedding ring at practice.
My wife bought me this gold chain necklace that I wear because of Caleb. I take my wedding ring off anytime I'm going to go do some football stuff because I don't want anybody to break my wedding ring.
Caleb Williams breaking up happy marriages already, and he hasn't played a down in the league. But what was his reception like on campus?
It was a huge visit when Oklahoma was able to get him in there. And this was right before COVID really shut everything down. So March of 2020, when he was a junior, because you'll remember Gonzaga College High School did not play football in 2020. So Caleb goes from, you know, his junior season where he becomes a five-star recruit to being desired by a lot of colleges to come on campus, to come visit. So he goes and visits Oklahoma. And it was such a big deal when they were able to get him on campus. And I talked to Connor McQueen, who was an offensive analyst at Oklahoma at the time. He later went out with Lincoln Riley to be a GA at USC. And he told me that his first day aligned with when Caleb Williams had his big visit in March of 2020.
It's kind of funny and kind of came full circle that my first day on campus at OU was when Caleb took his visit at Oklahoma. And so I didn't know that at all. I just knew that, you know, it was a big deal because I didn't even get to meet with Lincoln or anybody else that day, my first day on the job, because everyone was with Caleb the whole time.
And what Connor starts hearing during the first couple of hours of being in this job is Lincoln found his next one.
I knew loosely who Caleb was, but people are telling me around that I'm meeting with, they're like, no, Lincoln's, he's with his next guy. He's with the next one. And I'm like, okay, who is this guy? What's this all about?
You know, there's a high bar set by Baker Mayfield, by Kyler Murray, by Jalen Hurts, who had transferred there from Alabama and had a great end of his college career before going to the NFL. Spencer Rattler was already positioned to be that guy because he was there. But then the talk of Caleb Williams coming to town really sets this thing in motion.
That might be the best story. Is it your favorite, Courtney?
It's certainly up there. You know, when I went back to his time at Oklahoma, and it was so difficult to whittle down the best anecdotes for this story because there were so many. And one thing for me in talking with Caleb Williams and talking with Lincoln Riley on the Friday that Caleb was introduced was learning about how do you harness someone's competitive greatness? And it brought me back to one of the stories that I heard from a personnel member at the University of Oklahoma, Chip Viney, the former director of player development at the University of Oklahoma. He later went on to become the cornerbacks coach at San Jose State University, and now he is coaching corners at the University of Arizona. There was one time during Caleb's freshman year, so this would have been early on in the season, where Chip's walk into his office around 5:30 in the morning.
I come in one day and I'm walking down this long hallway, and I'm blind, and I don't have my glasses or contacts in. I'm kind of squinting down the hallway, and I see this figure in front of my door. And immediately I put on my personnel hat because it's like 5:30 a.m. in the morning. Like, you never see a student leaving the building that early, even with 6 a.m. workouts. And I'm like, hey, you know, you all right?
He's like, who is that? And he gets closer. He's like, is that Caleb Williams standing outside my door?
He's like, can you talk? I'm like, yeah, of course, for you, yes, anything. So we go into my office and we sit down, and I am waiting for him to tell me he's homesick. He's made the wrong decision.
And instead of getting the news that he thought he was going to get about this situation that Chip had dreamed up in his head, Caleb says, how do I get into the 6 a.m. workout group?
He's like, hey, it's been wrestling with us all night. I don't know who to talk to. I need to get in the 6 a.m. workout group. I said, what? He's like, yeah, I need to get in the 6 a.m. workout group. I said, well, first, what time do you work out?
And he goes through the reasons for it. Yeah, like I work out right now with the freshmen, which doesn't happen until far later in the day, but I really want to get on the rack with Spencer Rattler. I want to push for the starter's job.
So then I kind of, you know, regress and relax. Okay. Listen here, freshman, you know, like, I hear you. You know, I love that spirit about you. But yeah, man, that's just not how it's set up. You know, and I kind of swung it for him. We need you with the rest of the freshmen to lead those guys.
Remember, like Spencer Rattler was supposed to be the next guy at Oklahoma because they had just had Jalen Hurts leave to go to the NFL. Lincoln Riley had coached Kyler Murray. He had coached Baker Mayfield, two Heisman Trophy winners. Spencer Rattler at that point was supposed to be the next one. But here comes Caleb, who was a highly touted recruit, was a massive get for the University of Oklahoma, and he's pushing at a point where he's the backup.
Well, he's so adamant about it, he leaves my office. He goes down the workout, down the locker room, he gets dressed and goes to the workout with Benny Wiley. And Benny Wiley's like, what are you doing? You know, he's like, Coach, I couldn't sleep. I wanted to get a workout.
And he has the mindset to know, if I don't want to be a backup much longer, I've got to start showing I can go toe-to-toe with the starter. And it wasn't in a disrespectful manner. It wasn't in a way to show him up. But to level the playing field, he felt that he needed to go get in that same workout group and compete and see how he does it.
Well, long story short, we all end up in a meeting, Lincoln, and this kid is just on fire and wants to be on the rack next to Spencer Rattler because he wants to work as hard as Spencer Rattler. Then I knew, I'm like, okay, he's really different.
By the time that Texas-Oklahoma game came around, he was ready. And this is a good example of how they were able to harness some of that competitive drive and show Caleb how to use it at a time where he might not have been ready to assume the role full time. But when he was ready for his moment, he was ready.
We call that playing Gen Z chess. You hear that, boomers? He's got the stick-to-itiveness. He's got the grind culture. Just because he's got painted nails doesn't mean he doesn't work hard. We've heard some weird things around Caleb before the draft in terms of what people thought of his dad, yada, yada. But you've heard a lot of great stories. Was there anything where you were like, hold up, everybody's got something good to say? Any other things that you thought, maybe that's a little weird?
One thing I think is really interesting is the Bears are so open in talking about Caleb Williams before they drafted him. That typically doesn't happen in the pre-draft process. But the thing that I had talked with Ryan Poles, the Bears general manager, about and what he felt the last thing he needed to see was during the top 30 visit, coming out of the pro day at USC, and getting him into the building was the accountability. When things go wrong, where does the blame go? Is it everybody else's fault, or is it a situation where you're taking that ownership on yourself? And one story that kept coming up, because of course, when people were looking at Caleb Williams and the criticisms against him, do you remember when he cried last year? Like he jumped out, was, you know, running, he found his mom.
Big deal out here in LA. People were calling him a crybaby for weeks.
Caleb Williams jumping up and laying in the arms of family there.
Yep. Tough night. Battle.
Sure did.
In the pre-draft process, some teams were looking at this saying, is this going to be an issue? Is this the sign of someone who is a sore loser? Is this somebody who can't handle the moment? And what I had gleaned from people I talked with for this story about that competitive fire and whether and how that was perceived, but also how the Bears perceive that, it's somebody who this means a lot to. And I think it's okay as competitors and as someone who has done this at a very high level in the, at the college game, to show that sort of raw emotion. Because when we talk about Caleb Williams and the things he does that are, I guess, would fall into the category of being abnormal, but they're normal to him, showing that sort of emotion, having an eye for high fashion that may make some people uncomfortable, painting his nails, doing things that truly don't conform to the gender norms that we have built for the superstar quarterback male athlete. I think the Bears looked at this and said, to hell with whatever the perception is. We think that he is a high character individual. He's checked every box for us because we cannot afford to get this position wrong, because this team has had quarterback futility for 85 years. And all of the things that Caleb Williams displayed in all of the things that he was able to overcome despite getting a knock at every single turn, that was a plus. And by the time they got through their pre-draft process, there were barely any cons there that were on that list, and why it was such an easy decision that has been made for the Bears since the beginning of April. Like, that top 30 visit was the final puzzle piece in this overall picture to make sure that they had the right guy to bring in a month later, more or less.
Listeners, do you hear that sound? It's not just the faint ding of hope. It's the weird rumbling of an actual plan coming out of Halas Hall to make something happen on this team that they're actually going to stick with. I'm borderline stunned by that, that they stuck with something and said, this actually makes sense. Let's continue to do that. But I digress. Coming up, we'll find out what kind of teammate Caleb is from his former teammates. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. I want to know more about Caleb Williams and the teammate and person he is. There are many stories that have come out of the things he's done with teammates, coaches. You've outlined a lot of that. Is there any particular anecdote that sticks out to you as Caleb the human?
So he really, really appreciates his offensive line. I think the story that highlights that the most was a conversation I had with Brett Nealon, his former center during Caleb's Heisman Trophy year. So there was the Nealon nudge, which was the play that happened at Oregon State that ended up pushing Caleb for a first down, and they end up scoring on that drive. That's one example of the O-line rallying around their guy.
Fourth down, and they need the 49. Pressure. Williams steps up. Williams gets away. Williams is going to be. This is going to be a first down on the push. McCartan's got him, and in comes Nealon like he's pushing the sled.
And then Caleb returning the favor, when he gets the call that he's coming to New York as one of the finalists for the 2021 Heisman Trophy. And he said, I want to make sure my offensive line is there with me when I'm in New York City.
I know he was super busy. Like, I think he was already in New York. And I know he told us later when we got to hang out with him, he was like, I told them, basically, I'm not going to the ceremony if my O-line's not there. So, you know, that's just the type of guy he is. And
so Caleb paid for everything. It was the travel out there, the hotel rooms. And at this point of his career, he had made quite a bit of money from NIL, but to go and allocate those resources to make sure that your starting five and your reserve offensive linemen are out there with you, I think it speaks to how good of a teammate he is and how he realizes that his individual accolades are ones that he couldn't have achieved alone. The night of the Heisman Trophy ceremony, when Caleb's reading his speech, he has each offensive lineman stand up and he names them by name.
A special shout out to this group, my offensive linemen. Stand up, you guys, wherever you are. Who are all here to celebrate our accomplishment. Bobby, Cortland, Voorhees, Gino, Brett, Didi, Jonah, Mason. Thank you. Thank you.
So for him to honor his teammates and to put them in a spot where he can say thank you through his actions, I think that's pretty admirable for someone who hasn't even been in an NFL locker room yet. And it wasn't just the Heisman Trophy ceremony that stands out. I was told that he had gotten an NIL deal, a package for his entire starting offensive line at the University of Oklahoma. And that was something that he was able to do at USC in addition to gifting the entire team two sets of headphones from his Beats by Dre deal. It was everybody from the coaching staff to his players to support staff to the janitorial staff at the football facility.
You know, as soon as spring ball ended, right before that last practice of spring ball, he called the whole team up and had Beats purchased and distributed to every member of the whole program. So not just the players, but all the coaches, myself as the GA, he got it for the custodian workers that work in the building, that clean the building every day.
It was his way of saying thank you. In a lot of respects, he lived a pro lifestyle when he was a college football player.
Yep.
And he had resources that aren't typically afforded to college athletes that now in the era of NIL let you lead a different life. So at his downtown apartment in Los Angeles, he would have players over all the time. He would host brunches. He would have, you know, trays of Wingstop during Lakers games where they'd all be at the house watching it, hanging out. So he was not only providing these team bonding moments for his offensive line and other players, but he was really going above and beyond to make sure that everybody had what they needed. And I think a story that really addresses this and highlights that was when John Jackson III, who is looking to get on an NFL roster right now. It's Caleb's best friend. They played at USC together before he transferred for his final season of eligibility to the University of Nevada. John was looking to train for the NFL. He calls up Caleb. They're talking about their plans for the offseason. And Caleb says, well, I've got an extra bedroom in where I'm staying in Los Angeles. Why don't you come and move in with me?
He lives downtown and campus is probably like 15 minutes away. But there's times like where we'd just be up late chilling, playing video games and talking to each other. And then out of nowhere, I just crash in the other room. So like, he's like, shoot, you were damn near living here before. He's like, why not just move in? And I was like, okay.
Doesn't charge him rent, has a bed made up for him by the time he gets there, and puts his teammate in a position to be able to focus on training, to not have to worry about anything else.
As soon as I came in, got a bed ordered and everything, and had everything set for me. So it's like, he does things, countless gestures that people may not see, people may not post, or they might not blow up, but that's just the kind of person he is, you know?
And it's fascinating because would this have happened in a different era for other college quarterbacks who, you know, would they have been able to take care of their teammates the same way that Caleb Williams has? Because, you know, once he started getting what we have heard in a figure upwards of $10 million in NIL earnings over the last 2 years as one of the best players in college football, he didn't just pocket all of that for himself. He used those means that he had to give back to the people who helped make his job and his life a lot easier as a college football player.
Look, I don't have to operate non-real hypotheticals, even though the topic is an interesting one. He did do the work. He did spend the money on the community. I don't need to think about what somebody else would have done in order to credit Caleb. The reason I say that is because there are still people in this world, NFL scouts, so on and so forth. And our old friend Dave Fleming was talking on Pablo's podcast, and he said that he heard that Caleb is like having Prince as a quarterback. Now, number one, how old do you have to be to think that this is somehow a problem? And number two, like, Prince played ball. Prince made a lot of cash. Prince outwit the record industry system in order to make his own money back on records that they were trying to charge him for against the likeness of his own name. Prince was a genius on top of that. I don't understand why that's a bad comparison. Never mind why you wouldn't say it to begin with.
I think it would be really cool if Prince played quarterback. This goes back to some people in the NFL world, scouts, coaches, people who make the decisions about how football teams are formed and what they look like, being uncomfortable that someone's doing things a little differently and that they are immensely talented. And hearing him talk on Friday when he was introduced to the Chicago Bears and the media that is going to be covering him for his rookie season and what the Bears hope will be for a decade plus.
I'm always going to have scrutiny. I mean, I do things like I paint my nails. I'm always going to have scrutiny over that. I wear funky clothes and things like that. So, you know, just do my job on the football field, win games. You know, I think you win a bunch of games here. You'll make a lot of people, a majority happy. So
the way that a 22-year-old who has that old soul sort of vibe, but also the take it as I am, love it or leave it sort of feel around him, that's refreshing because with so many of these high-profile athletes, the ones that come from college to the NFL, they become more guarded in the NFL. And who's to say that if the Bears, you know, inevitably lose games, that Caleb, who was not a media presence by and large, USC had policies against that, Oklahoma had policies against that, he was shielded by his college program at both stops from having to talk after losses. I know that was one of the big things at the end of last season, the accountability element. That wasn't his choice. That was a Lincoln Riley choice to not have him talk after his final game at USC. But how he'll handle things going forward and showing his true colors and who he is and not having to hide behind this idyllic image that the NFL world has painted about this is what a quarterback looks like. If he can take what he's done already, translate it to the NFL and still be who he's been this entire time, that's something not many players can stake claim to, because when you get into a world where this is your job, this is not just a goal anymore, this is your day-to-day, this is how you make your livelihood, the stakes become that much higher. But if you can remain true to yourself the way that he has, even in the early stages of his like couple-day-old NFL career, then that's going to be an accomplishment in its own right because we just so frequently don't see that.
Chicago! Thank you, Courtney. I don't know why I said that. Just wanted to sing.
That was good.
Thank you.
You have a good voice.
I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow, kiddos.